We present Kenneth Williams, Derek Nimmo, Clement Freud, and Andre Melle in just a minute. And as the minute force fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and welcome once again to Just a Minute. And the rules are as before. I'm going to ask them all to speak, if they can, for just a minute on some unlikely subject, without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject, if they can. And the others think they're guilty of doing this, they may challenge, and if I agree with that challenge or not, they will gain points or otherwise. That's how we play, and let's begin with Derek Nimmo. Derek, the subject is passing the buck. Would you try and speak for 60 seconds on that, starting now?
Well, I'm a tremendous believer in passing the buck, particularly at the period of the year when it is rutting. I think it's most dangerous if you go anywhere near a fallow or red deer when it is in that state. Now, to rut, as you probably know, is the period of intense sexual excitement which they experience occasionally during the passing of 12 months. Another way of using the passing the buck expression, of course, is the way from the game of poker. When a player is about to hit his go next, they put something in front of him to show that it is going to be his next go. And that's why it's used in the sense...
Clement Freud, you have challenged.
Lots of hesitations, really.
Repetition next. Next.
Yes, it was the next time round. Yes, there was rather a lot of next. It wasn't just twice, Derek. Oh, so
I'm terribly sorry. I'm awfully sorry.
No. It was terribly interesting. We were very worried about what was going to happen to these deer, especially. Anyway, Clement Freud, I agree with your challenge, so you gain a point, and you take over the subject of passing the buck, and there are 20 seconds left, starting now.
Frequently on the west coast...
Derek Nimmo, you've challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes. A little sharp, but there was a definite hesitation. But so there are 17 seconds left for you, Derek, with passing the buck again, starting now.
In the United States of America, if you pass the buck, it means to hand over the smallest piece of coinage within that country. Now, last time I was...
Clement Freud, why do you challenge?
It's a continent, deviation.
The United States of America is not a continent.
Yes, it is part of the American continent. It is not actually a continent. So, Derek Nimmo, as I disagree with your challenge, takes another point, and he continues with the subject for 10 seconds, starting now.
Of course,
now.
In Bushy Park, it's terribly dangerous, because they have these big antlers, and they come charging towards you, and you have to duck down underneath the brambles and keep well clear, because if they get at you...
Clement Freud, why have you challenged?
Deviation.
Why?
Brambles in Bushy Park.
I think that there are brambles in Bushy Park, the same as most of the other parks of this country. Derek, I disagree with the challenge. I do think there are brambles in Bushy Park. So there are 2 seconds left for you to continue with passing the buck, starting...
Sorry, when I start play stud poker, I always say that if I can do...
The whistle that has just blown tells us that 60 seconds is up, and whoever is speaking at that particular moment gains another point. In this case, it was Derek Nimmo, who at the end of the first round has taken a very natural and commanding lead. Clement Freud, will you begin? I say natural only because he's spoken so much, not for any other reason. Clement Freud, will you take the second subject, which is crossed lines, and start talking on that now?
Between bramble bushes in Bushy Park, you're likely to find any number of crossed lines. Some go from the tree on the left to a stalk of grass on the right. Others are attached to palms, to ferns, and to other...
Kenneth Williams.
Well, not only hesitation, but...
But what?
Saw an awful lot of deviation, too, I thought.
I think there was absolutely no deviation. Well, I would stick on the hesitation
well,
if I were you.
Better do that, yes.
Yes, that was your first challenge. Which I quite agree with, so, Kenneth, you take over the subject. There are 43 seconds left for crossed lines, starting now.
Well, this, of course, means when you are telephoning someone, you hear instead the voice of a person to whom you did not wish to speak at all. Sometimes it can be great fun. I heard some woman saying, so we've had the passage taken right away, and the other woman said, oh, did you get permission? She said, no, we never asked. And the operator said, we're going to blow through the receiver tonight because mastoidal germs do get in the earpiece, and so do cover your phone with a nice plastic bag like you get from the cleaners. So she's sitting there with this over her phone and, of course, waiting for it to get covered in black. And, of course, it's all rubbish, I mean, don't it?
Derek Nimmo, why have you challenged?
Deviation is all rubbish.
Oh, he's fly. He's very fly.
Derek, it may be all rubbish, but you see, what the people were saying on the phone was rubbish. So, strictly speaking, I don't think he has deviated from the subject of cross lines, which does turn out to be rubbish when you listen to it. So, I think that Kenneth Williams still has the subject with another point, and 1 second to go, starting now.
So she said, here, are you the one I wanted to speak to? Is it Lambert 5479?
Floyd, challenge you before you got
dear,
there.
Why, Clement?
Well, hesitation.
I disagree entirely. Kenneth, you have half a second to continue with cross lines, starting now.
Lambert 5406, she said, I'm after. Oh, tell me. Tell me I've leapt into the lead. Go on.
Kenneth, I have to tell you that
yes,
you
go on.
Have leapt into the lead.
Yes?
Yes.
Oh, I'm all worked up. I love all that.
It's all those cross lines, wasn't it?
Yes, I've crossed the legs as well, yeah.
Well, steady on. Because it's your turn to begin.
Yes?
The subject is what happened to Anne of Cleves. Well, having twitched your nose up to the left-hand side of your face and back to the right, can you tell us, for 60 seconds, starting now?
Well, this John of Ravensburg sent her over here, not to be confused with Raven, of course, though many people thought he was, too, have thought that she could successfully marry...
Derek Nimmer, why have you challenged?
Deviation. She wasn't sent here, but Thomas Cromwell went over to look at her first. Deviation.
Yes, but as I understand from my history that she came unwillingly, I do believe
no,
that she
came
was...
quite willingly. Holbein was sent over to
yes,
paint a picture.
Yes, but she may have come willingly, or with the you may believe she became unwillingly. He still is on the subject of Anne of Cleves, what happened to her, so he's not deviating from the subject, which is the exact ruling. So therefore, I cannot have you for deviation. And Kenneth gets another point, and he continues with the subject. 47 seconds left, starting now.
A portrait was sent on ahead, and Henry expressed a fancy. He said, "Ooh, not bad. She's quite dishy."
Clement Freud, why have you challenged?
What's the
matter
with him?
Hesitation.
Well, there was hesitation, but I think it was the audience reaction that slightly inhibited him.
Yes, exactly.
It didn't inhibit my buzz, so why should it inhibit him?
Well, I'm going on this occasion to give the benefit of the doubt to Kenneth because he did actually respond to the audience reaction. But, Kenneth, you have... I know it's difficult when you get a nice warm reaction not to respond to it, but you have to try and keep going. 37 seconds left for what happened to Anne of Cleves, Kenneth, starting now.
But he had the marriage annulled because he couldn't stand the sight of her, and it's suspected she had terrible B.O. and she to Cleves, which was
Derek
then...
Derek Nimmer, why have you challenged?
Hesitation, didn't get back to Cleves. She lived in retirement in England for 15 years on a pension.
Oh, dear. He's very knowledgeable.
Derek Nimmer, you have a point. Well done. And there are 26 seconds left for what happened to Anne of Cleves, Derek, starting now.
Well, of course, the marriage was rarely annulled because it was not consummated. At that time, Henry VIII was a tremendous authority on marital law because he was ridding himself of the previous wives, and that's how he was able to get rid of her.
Clement, why have you challenged?
Hesitation.
Yes, I'm sorry. Mm. It was one of those difficult ones when he's going at speed. Clement, you have 16 seconds to continue with what happened to Anne of Cleves, starting now.
Anne of Cleves is a 92-year-old washerwoman.
Kenneth Williams, why have you challenged?
Oh, obviously, I mean, it's complete disgrace.
The awful thing is, he might know a 92-year-old washerwoman called Anne of Cleves. So, within the laws of the game, you see, unless he can establish it very rapidly, he gets a point and he continues for 13 seconds. What happened to Anne of Cleves, starting now? Andre Melly, you've challenged.
He didn't start.
Andre, you have a point. 11 seconds for what happened to Anne of Cleves, starting now.
The Anne of Cleves I knew was an absolutely useless type of doll. It was the kind that you couldn't take the clothes off. They were all Elizabethan. You couldn't even take her knickers off, which everyone knows.
Kenneth Williams, why have you chucked?
Deviation. Why should you want to take the clothes off in the first place? It's an unhealthy curiosity, that is. That's unhealthy. I haven't come here to listen to a load of filth. I thought this was going to be a decent game for family entertainment. I thought it was family entertainment I'd come for. Find my ears and listen to a load of things.
Well done, Kenneth. We really enjoyed that. Absolutely lovely. Andre Melly has another point, and she continues with the subject.
Oh, it's a disgrace.
She, if you have a doll, you are allowed to undress her, and it's nothing devious in it at all.
Really?
Absolutely nothing. Andre, you have 2 seconds left for what happened to Anne of Cleves starting now.
And her eyes wouldn't shut either. So I just...
As Andre Melly was speaking then, when the whistle went, she has got another point. In fact, she's got 3 more points in that round, and she's creeping up on the fellas. Derek Nemo, will you begin the next round? The subject is tea bags. 60 seconds, starting now.
Well, I personally possess a beautiful pair of grey flannel tea bags. I call them that because when I come home at a certain time in the afternoon, I always change into them before sitting in front of the fire to consume a great plate of crumpets and a lovely pot of the aforementioned liquid. I put it on my knee across the grey suiting, which I have already mentioned, and then...
Clement Freud, why have you challenged?
He's already mentioned it.
Well, why
did
you... Wait, what?
Repetition, he's already mentioned it.
Yes, but he might have mentioned it, but he, in this particular round, referred to it in different terms, so he has not been accurately repetitious according to the Just a Minute rules. So Derek gets a point and continues with the subject. 36 seconds left for tea bags, starting now.
Is everybody right in it? There's nasty little net receptacles that you whack a few tea leaves into, and all types...
Andre Melly, why have you challenged?
Deviation. They've already got the tea in them. You don't whack the tea in yourself.
They're put in by...
You.
Which well, means you made it quite clear to my mind that you personally whack the tea in. And so the manufacturers do that. Andre Miller, you take over the subject. 30 seconds left for tea bags, starting now.
These are an American invention, I believe.
Clement Freud, why do you challenge?
Hesitation.
Yes, I agree, Clement. So you take over the subject of tea bags. 27 seconds left, starting now.
These were invented in England by a man called Simon Prouston. Who in the early...
Andre Melly, why have you challenged?
Deviation, I don't believe him.
Nor do I.
Well, you're very foolish, then. You've jumped right in it, you have. Because he did invent them, you great fool.
If you think, audience, that Simon Prouston invented tea bags, will you cheer? No, will you boo? And if you don't think he did it, will you cheer? So, if you're for Simon Prouston, boo. If you're not, cheer. Do it now together. Hooray! You're against Simon Prouston. Andre Melly, you take over the subject. There are 20 seconds left for tea bags, starting now.
These things were invented by an unnamed person who thought...
Derek Nimmo, why did you chant?
Deviation. We need Simon Prouston.
Actually, we have established that Simon Prouston did not. That's what we definitely established from this audience. And they're the final arbiters in this particular game. So Andre gets another point, and there are 17 seconds left for tea bags, starting now.
You put them in the teapot and you put the boiling water on them, and it makes a disgusting cup of tea. This is not at all, as anyone like Clement Freud will tell us, a gastronomically correct way to make the aforesaid liquid.
Deviation. How does she know what Clement Freud would tell us? Is she inside his head? Is she clairvoyant? Has she got a crystal ball over there?
Well done, Kenneth.
Yes. Making these generalisations, she was.
Yes, she was, but I disagree entirely with what you've just said. Because she wasn't deviating from the subject of tea bags. So Andre gets another point, and she continues for 5 seconds on the subject, starting now.
You get about 24 of them in a box when you buy them at the grocer's or the supermarket, and then I...
Well, Andre Melly, with the help of Simon Prouston, has, at the end of that round, leapt into the lead alongside Kenneth Williams. And Clement Freud and Derek Nimmo are trading just a little way behind them. Clement Freud, will you begin the next round? The subject is leftovers. As a good gastronome, I'm sure you can talk about that eloquently for 60 seconds, starting now.
These at one time were called googlies, or Chinamen, and are in fact cricket balls delivered by the left hand at a batsman who may be right-handed or not. An over consists of 6 balls in this country, but 8 in the Antipodes, amongst which countries I'd like to single out Australia and New Zealand. The great practitioners were Chipperfield and O'Reilly, probably best known for his invention of the word which I have used previously and will not do so again. It is also a term given to bits of food left about in larders, which are perhaps most commonly referred to as leftovers, sausage meat on a saucer, or perhaps a tea bag left in some annex to the pantry.
Andre Melly, why do you challenge?
That's a leftover, not a leftovers. A tea bag on a saucer.
Oh, I think that's being pedantic, Andre. It was so delightful. He was going with such mellifluous I don't know what I'm talking about. He was going jolly well anyway, wasn't he? So, Clement Freud gets another point, and there are 13 seconds left for leftovers, starting now.
I know a woman who lives in Eaton Square who actually practices what she preaches and serves leftovers to all her guests. I have dined with her and had crusts of bread, the skin from custard, and odd pieces of fat which...
Clement Freud gets two very well-deserved points in that round.
You don't deserve them. That was a disgraceful libel on one of London's most distinguished hostesses.
He deserved them because he kept going magnificently for 64 seconds with only one interruption, and it's more difficult to keep going if you have been interrupted once. Jolly good. And now you've leapt into the lead alongside Andre Melly and Kenneth Williams.
A worthy position for him to share with me.
But, Andre Melly, will you begin the next one? How to build an igloo. A rather cold subject, but I'm sure you'll warm it up for us. 60 seconds, starting now.
First, take a rather nice Eskimo. And second, find...
Clement, Kenneth Williams, why have you challenged?
Because you don't build an igloo by taking an Eskimo.
But, Kenneth, it might be possible to do it that way. And maybe Andre has got some very good reason for getting her Eskimo first, who probably knows more about igloos than she does.
An obvious whose side you're on, isn't it? An
I try to be on the side of fairness and justice.
Very partisan, if you are.
Very pompous, maybe, sometimes, but I try to do my best. Andre Melly, you take another point, and there are 55 seconds for how to build an igloo, starting now.
You need an ice glacier that's going rent-free, and a large pickaxe or two, and then you leave the Eskimo to get on with it.
Clement Foy, why have you challenged? Have you challenged?
Repetition of Eskimo.
Yes, indeed. You've had your Eskimo once, so you can't have him twice, can you? Not the same. Anyway, Clement Freud, you have 47 seconds for how to build an igloo, starting now.
Unless you have a deep freeze, this really shouldn't be attempted. I know a man who lived in Prince's Gate.
Kenneth Williams, why have you challenged?
Deviation. You would never build an igloo if you had a deep freeze. Ludicrous.
Clement, can you justify it very rapidly?
You have an awful job getting the snow if you only had a domestic fridge.
No, I think if you want to build an igloo, you can only do it in Eskimo land in Greenland, so I don't think deep freezes have much to do with it. It's a very debatable point, but I'm giving the benefit of the doubt to Kenneth.
You keep giving him the benefit of the doubt.
I think with justification.
Well, then give him the
you
point.
You be quiet. Don't argue with the chairman.
Why don't you just give him
You've
the
got to have rules, you know. You've got to have rules.
Kenneth Williams, you have another point and 43 seconds to continue with how to build it, not continue, but to start on how to build an igloo, starting now.
These are done by making snow into bricks. The process of course.
Andre Melly, why have you challenged?
Deviation, because it's ice you have to make the bricks of. The snow door crumble away.
You're a great fool. They start as snow, that's how ice house immense starts, liquid. Then it goes hard, you see.
And there is another point. Whether you would do it that way or not, it is probably possible, and certainly Kenneth Williams might try it that way. So he hasn't deviated from how to build an igloo.
Give him the benefit of the doubt.
I don't need to give him the benefit of the doubt. He has established it firmly, I hope, and I've explained why. 36 seconds, how to build an igloo, Kenneth, starting now.
The warm snow is placed in these boxes, which then put outside, and in the outside, on the outside, they freeze.
But why have you changed?
Deviation and repetition, actually.
I'm explaining outside. The process. No, don't you want to hear it?
This is where the
building you work your
sorry, what you can't... You can't have two challenges, really. What are you challenging on?
Well, on deviation.
Why?
Because you can't put the snow into your boxes and build it that way.
Well, you see, I would have given it to you for hesitation. He might be able to do it that way. You see, he hasn't actually deviated from the subject of how to build an igloo. Well, his igloo may collapse, it may melt.
Give him the benefit of the doubt.
He has no benefit of the doubt. I've established why he has another point. So, there are 31 seconds left, Kenneth, starting now.
And moreover, if you get the germs like influenza out there while you're building it, of course, they are dead within seconds.
Derek Nimmer, why have you challenged?
Deviation, you're talking about Eskimo illnesses now rather than building an igloo.
A very clever challenge. I don't think that has got much to do with building an igloo. So you have deviated, and Derek gets a point, and there are 25 seconds left. Derek, how to build an igloo, starting now.
This particular kind of loo was invented by a man...
Derek, why have you challenged?
For deviation, it's igloo, not loo. And you can't make a derivative of that in loo. Unless you're in loo of.
In lieu of.
Which
no,
would be different
but
entirely.
It is possible to interpret the words, this is not a visual program, in any way you wish, according to the way it sounds on
that's
your ear.
That's not the interpreting the word, that's splitting the word up. Igloo is technically loo. That's not altering interpretation, it's altering the word.
We have had this before, and we have established that you can interpret the words as they sound to your ear, providing you have not deviated from the actual pronunciation.
Oh, well, of course, if that's your ruling, I would accept it.
You have the most charming way of wriggling out of everything, Kenneth. Derek Nimmo has another point, and there are 22 seconds left for how to build an igloo, Derek, starting now.
They were invented by the well-known man, Mr. Proussen, who was also famous for his invention of tea bags.
And he was known... Clement Freud, why have you challenged?
Well, the audience has established that Proussen didn't invent tea bags.
Well done. A very clever challenge, Clement. So 16 seconds for you to continue with how to build an igloo, starting now.
It is essential to have a lot of snow and a cold climate. You then take the aforementioned substance, packing it together so that it creates some sort of housing, ideally shaped like a tent or perhaps more like an Arab wigwam.
Well, as Clement Freud was speaking then when the whistle went, he goes into second place, only 1 point behind Kenneth Williams, who's still just in the lead. And it's very exciting because Andre's only a little way behind and Derek's only a tiny way behind that. And Kenneth Williams, you begin the next subject. It is English literature. 60 seconds on that, if you can, starting now.
Well, of course, I suppose the whole story begins with the Anglo-Saxon period, and, of course, Erald Helm and the Venerable Bede, who could hardly write and only just read, and then sweeps with Chaucer into the English Renaissance, which finds its fountainhead with William Shakespeare. After that, of course, very little looms. The only hope thereafter, of course, lies for me in the romantics. And who better or more representative than Byron, your Keats, your Shelley? Oh, I knew he was going to do that me on the U. Oh, I shouldn't have.
No, Derek, why are you challenged?
Well, I haven't done anything at all, really. But when he said... You knew he was going to do it because
I
of something other.
Well, because I said you're Keats and you're about Shelley, yes. And I thought you were going to do
you
me
see,
for the repetition.
You silly fellow. They were going to let you get away with your year.
Ah.
You should have got... Kept
oh, should I go again then?
No, you can't. Derek gets a point, and there are 11 seconds left for English literature starting now.
My favourite English writer.
Andre Melly.
Hesitation.
Yes, alas, there was. So, Andre, you take over the subject. 8 seconds left. English literature starting now.
This is a subject that goes hand in hand with Latin.
Clement Freud, why don't you...
Repetitive hand.
Yes, very clever, hand in
brilliant,
hand.
Brilliant.
Brilliant. It's another one of those brilliant Freudian challenges, which gives him another point and 3 seconds for English literature, Clement, starting now.
The modern English literature, as practiced by Auden, is the word that means...
Well, Clement Freud gets the extra point of speaking at the end of that round, and may I say before I give the final score, because that is the end of the show, that there's a one lesson to learn in this game, that if you've started going, keep going, whatever happens, because, Kenneth, if
I
you...
I know, it is a shame, you know, because
yes.
I had a lovely bit of Byron
yes,
I was going to
yes.
do.
And if you'd kept going, you see, you might have finished up and got that extra point and been the winner.
I know.
What has happened is Clement, on the last round, a game with those clever challenges of his, has caught you up and is equal with you at the
oh,
end
he's
of this
he,
round.
Yes, yes,
Derek Nimmo was in fourth place, a little way behind Andre Melly, who was a little way behind this week's joint winners, Clement Freud and Kenneth Williams.
Oh,
I'm sorry that that's all we have time for in this particular edition of Just a Minute, because we really enjoy playing the game and we hope that you have enjoyed listening to it. Goodbye from us all. Goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Simon Brett.